Hi, my name is Allison Mead, and welcome to What She Said, an episode of the LA FBI podcast series. The Los Angeles Female Playwrights Initiative is dedicated to encouraging and promoting the work of female playwrights, and today I'm going to be speaking with Heidi Powers, whose musical The Real Housekeepers of Studio City is currently playing at Theater Asylum as part of the Hollywood Fringe Festival. Heidi Powers is a producer, writer, and lyricist of The Real Housekeepers of Studio City, which she created with her husband, Tom Moore. She received a BA in writing and a BFA in directing from the University of Michigan, where she managed the Rude Mechanicals Theatrical Company and directed Much Ado About Nothing, Hamlet, Ancient History, and The Most Massive Woman Wins. So welcome, Heidi.
Hello, Allison. Thank you for having me on the show.
Of course. The Real Housekeepers of Studio City starts with a really interesting idea. It's the main characters are searching for domestic help and turned to Craigslist to hire someone. So I wondered if you could talk a little bit about the idea for the show and how it came about.
Absolutely. So our composer, Joe Green, approached me with the concept of doing a musical about sitcom maids. He had been familiar with our sort of spec television writing and wanted to do sort of a television-based musical, but didn't know what direction to go with it other than the maids. So I chewed through it alone, and then I chewed through it with Tom, my partner, and it occurred to us that if we were to put all of these maids together in one location, we would need sort of a fantasy city. So we came up with this kind of studio city, quote-unquote, which we use because the Brady Bunch house is the actual facade of the house in Studio City. And because it sounds like the kind of place maybe television characters might live, in our city, you might have the Brady living next door to the Jetsons, living next door to the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, but he doesn't really live in Bel-Air, he lives in Studio City. So we just came up with this huge mashup of television. And as we kept exploring it, it occurred to us that we could really illustrate the difference between modern television and classic television through using a family that wants to be on reality TV, which fascinates me because it's such a different way of telling stories than the way that I tell stories. They're telling their real life or a version of their real life. And I like to build stories that are, you know, well, obviously fictional, but have different dimensions to them. And the other fun part of this is that Tom, my writing partner, is a reality TV editor.
So he's
able to bring in his perspective on what things are like behind the scenes. And it's interesting. The more I've been watching modern TV, the more I have seen the sort of phenomenon of hate watching. Are you familiar with hate watching?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's sort of like it sounds. I will admit to watching Dance Moms by hate watching it. Like, I couldn't look away from this behavior that I didn't appreciate, but I kept watching it until finally I realized it wasn't a good use of my energy and time.
Then there's hate tweeting as well.
Yes, indeed, a ton of hate tweeting. But when we started looking back into these sort of sitcoms that I grew up with, I realized there was nothing but love watching then. Mm. Certainly, I was a child when I watched it, but I think even my parents were love watching Bewitched and I Dream of, you know, like there was just a lot of warmth in them, and you don't always get warmth in modern television. So we wanted to feature a reality character who is warm. So our main character, her name is Ashley. She isn't your typical reality star, I think, and that sometimes surprises people coming to a show called The Real Housekeepers because they imagine the sort of catty diva-ish,
right,
called reality star. But I know there's so much more to these people behind the personas that are on the reality TV shows. So I wanted to create a woman with more layers, with more warps. It's akin to the sitcom stars of the old days. So we sort of have her start a little bit down in the dumps, and have her learn lessons from each sitcom maid that she's interviewing, because she needs a maid. That's the whole, you know, shtick of the show, is that she is on the hunt for a maid so she can audition for a reality show. And as each of these famous maids come in and interview, they sort of teach her a little bit about how to be a TV star, but not necessarily how to be a reality TV star so much as how to be memorable and how to, you know, how to be successful in TV, which I would love some of these sitcom maids to teach the current TV stars those lessons, I think.
Well, you kind of touched on working with your husband. I was curious about that relationship, because we haven't really explored that kind of partnership on this podcast before, so I wondered if you could talk a little bit about how that collaboration works for you, because it's such a close, personal.
Happily. You know, I think it surprised us. We just had our 6th wedding anniversary on our first preview night, like our opening.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. And we didn't start writing until after we started married. When we met each other, we were both very interested in writing and doing our own pieces, but kind of struggling. I know that, you know, as a writer, there are periods where it's just hard to get stuff off the ground.
Oh, yeah.
And to like, I don't know if you've read The Artist's Way at all, but the whole showing up as a page concept, like sometimes it's just hard to show up at the page and commit and say, hey, I'm going to write, hey, I'm going to push this forward, and I'm going to bring closure to this piece. I wrote a lot of things before I started working with Tom where I simply could never bring it to closure. Mm. And then one day, working for a marketing job, because that's what I do during the day of my day gig, we started working with a company that was making some animated shorts, and they invited us to sort of, you know, us as a company, the writers of the company, to submit ideas for them. And I had ideas, and I started talking to Tom about it, and then suddenly we built on, you know, idea on top of idea, and it just worked so beautifully that we wrote that whole sort of episode together, the Bible for the show we were creating we did together. And suddenly we realized, well, why haven't we been doing this all along? Neither of us could bring things to closure, but here, just now, we brought this one little show Bible to closure. So from that moment on, our writing changed completely. And really more than our writing styles, because we have somewhat similar styles, our dedication changed. Where if one of us was like, oh, I just can't write today, the other of us said, no, we're doing this. And so it has been very helpful to me to be able to have someone I can, you know, I can prod and prod me to get things done. And on top of that, he has such an eye towards storytelling and through his editing experience. Like he's such a great editor of words as well as images. And I am such a big picture sort of put it out there kind of writer that when we balance it together, it goes well. I will admit that we had our first and biggest fights over writing initially. We are just a couple that gets along really well. We're friends. So when we started writing, suddenly we had to deal with fighting for the first time in our relationship. Mm-hmm. And we've been able to work that out now so that we realize whenever one of us feels really strongly about some, like, one direction, and the other of us feels really strongly in the other direction, typically it is another idea that we have to go with, and it is almost always better than either of our combined directions. But when we make the choice that makes both of us happy, the show is better for it. So it's been really interesting to learn to collaborate in that way. And really a joy, because I love him, and he's made my finishing things positive.
Well, a musical is such an ambitious thing to bring to the Hollywood Fringe Festival. So I wondered why you guys felt like that seemed like the perfect venue for this production.
Because we're crazy. We're crazy. there are several musicals in the festival this year. I think between 10 and 12 of them. And they are also crazy. I'm a little bit envious of shows that can go in with 1 to 5 actors and 3 like you to be like, ta-da, because that is not the case for us. Really, our biggest pack has been the light cues and the sound cues and the video cues, because we had to do that too. That's for crazy. It's not a lot tech prep for this festival. We had sort of 3 hours directly before our first performance.
Oh,
and
wow.
It just happened that we blew a fuse in the middle of the tech. So we haven't even really finished it. So if you're considering doing a Fringe Festival, I definitely recommend either aiming for really simple physical tech like lights and sound, mm-hmm. or aiming for a longer tech preparation, because that has been a huge challenge for us. But I've been very lucky to work with a team that is really persistent and willing to throw down, and so we have been able to produce the show in a way that I think if I had gone in and knowing exactly what's going to happen, I think I would have been afraid to do the show this way at Fringe. But because Fringe is such a great sort of entry into Los Angeles theater, in the end, I'm glad we did it. I think it's the right choice for us.
And you also mentioned a little bit earlier Joe Green, who wrote the music for your show. How did you end up finding him, and how was that collaboration?
That's a funny story. So I met Joe Green, and so did Tom, through Richard Simmons. Not Richard Simmons.
The real one, the exercise guy.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. He has an exercise studio in Beverly Hills where he teaches classes 3 times a week. And actually, all 3 of the creators of the show are a little overweight, at least. And we all were there to sort of, like, have a little motivation to keep going and to take care of ourselves and be healthy. Mm-hmm. And he was really shy. I had been, actually, both of my partners are pretty shy. I had been working out for maybe 4 or 5 months before I talked to Joe. But he had such a warm spirit, and he's so funny, and I had gone to see and support one of his drag shows. He does drag performances maybe once or twice a year, usually with a duo called the Bouffant Sisters. And he's just hilarious, and so I loved his work, and he had read some of our television work, and he approached me, and I was so shocked, because I've never written a musical, but I am obsessed with them. And I'm not clear on why I had never written a musical before, but I performed with them as a kid, and once I got to college, I simply did not have the pipes to keep performing, and I was more interested in the sort of behind-the-scenes writing, directing, producing scene. So I had sort of given that up, and as soon as he invited me, I was like, oh my God, yes, please. That's something I've always wanted to pursue, and I've never done it. So as soon as we started working together, collaborating and creating this piece, it was like it filled a big hole in my heart that I wasn't even fully aware existed. It's way better than ever performing. It's maybe the most fun I've ever had writing.
Very cool. Well, I think a lot of people are going to relate to The Real Housekeepers of Studio City because of the television characters that come to life from many classic shows. And it kind of dawned on me that it literally seems like no one did their own housework back in the day.
It's true. I don't know how they did that, because I don't know anyone who can afford that. So,
yeah. And your show is obviously really, really fun in tone, but it also has a little bit of a subversive message, I noticed, about television fame being the primary way to becoming immortal or eternal.
Right.
So I wondered how you thought maybe your show would be remembered in time.
Oh, my gosh. well, I would just be delighted if anyone remembered the show at all, because we are spending so much time honoring those things that we remember. I would hope that if a song gets stuck in someone's head, if we create so much as one earworm that someone carries with them, I think that would thrill me. And I would hope that, you know, if people, it's such a sort of an airy, light show. I know Time Love Show describes itself sometimes as donuts for dinner, and I sometimes worry that that's what we are too. But I hope that people find a sort of message at the center that you don't have to sacrifice who you are to become who you can be.
Yeah, absolutely. Not that you probably have time to do this, but I always like to ask people if there's anything else that you're working on or anything else that you're planning for the future, so people could be looking forward to that.
Oh, sure. Well, we have a couple of musicals in mind to be bored with, and I'm not at liberty to talk about those yet, just because we haven't finalized our next direction.
Okay.
But we're currently, my husband and I are currently working on a screenplay that is a female-centric comedy called Something Old, and it is about a bridesmaid and a groom being overwhelmed by the bride-to-be's behavior and not understanding how this really wonderful woman could become a quote-unquote bridezilla without realizing that she has, in fact, been possessed by the devil.
And then, of course, there's maybe Earworm, the musical, part two.
Indeed.
That should be on your agenda. Anyway, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me, and I wish you
thank
all
you
luck
for,
in the world with your run.
Thank you so much, Allison.
Absolutely. The Real Housekeepers of Studio City runs until June 28th at Theater Asylum in Hollywood. For more information about tickets, please visit www.hollywoodfringe.org/projects/1186. For more information about LAFPI's resources, activities, and opportunities, please visit www.lafpi.com.